Yes, live from Harlem in New York City, it's me. I'm Alex, and this is The Ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Lori Thompson. Hi, Lori.
Hi, and cheers to you.
Yeah. You were asking me medically how I was.
Yeah, and you said you were on the wheel.
Well, what happened is this is the third time that I've taken antibiotics, the antibiotics he's prescribed, to make it go away. It's a urinary tract infection, okay?
Yeah.
But then it keeps coming back three times. Right?
See, they are very resilient.
Yeah. So he wrote me and told me, he said, the next time you come down with it, come see me. If you want to do it with antibiotics, we can do a cystoscopy.
Which sounds painful.
Which is, they stick a thing up your penis and look at your bladder.
And guys just, they're not crazy about that.
I've done that. I've done it twice. You know.
Yeah.
I mean.
But that was at a club.
Come at me with the boa constrictor that goes up my dick, you know.
Yeah.
So, what the hell? So, anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So he gave me the choice, you know. And I think the reason he gave me the choice, I think what was happening, he sent the urine specimen out to a lab after we did it last time.
Yeah, when in doubt, send it out.
Right. And it came back negative because I had antibiotics in me and it had killed the bacteria or whatever the thing was.
Yeah.
So what I think he wants is a sample that's when I'm in trouble, when I actually have it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no antibiotic in me. And then he can send it out and probably get some kind of reading on what specific antibiotic will take care of it. So
yeah, and is there any downside to staying on antibiotics? Like
I asked him that. He said no. He said the only thing is antibiotics can have an effect on you personally.
Yeah.
He said after a while. He said, but these antibiotics do not get weaker every time you use them. No. You
said, oh, because your body gets used to
it. He said you could take this for years and it would still kill it. But if it keeps coming back, we got to find the reason why it keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder whether he thought it was bladder cancer or kidney this or whatever. And I think in reading about it that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to get it without the antibiotics so he can see what the bacteria is.
What the real story is.
And then give me the antibiotic that will take care of it. Because then they look at it and they say, okay, well, this antibiotic probably won't, but this will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way we get rid of it. But anyway, so. You see my new jacket?
Wait a minute. I saw, but I can't see the full bounty of it. Oh, very nice, man. Very nice. You Barhoff heavy.
Yeah.
Barhoff.
Yeah. You know, we got to get you nominated. Were you nominated again? Were you nominated?
I was. And Lisa Carr, who we worked with, she stayed active in that market. She just retired.
Yeah.
And she's in it. She got in it.
Yeah. But you were nominated?
I was nominated. Yeah. And I did not get the phone call from Ben Fong Torres.
Oh, no. I was nominated for the National Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I lost out to some team in Philadelphia because at that point what they did is they had people vote for their favorite. You know?
Yeah.
And
not just members, but the public.
Right. Yeah. And since they had a radio show.
Sure.
They could get thousands of people to write in. I've got a dinky little podcast, so three of the people will write in and say, you know. And it was me, and it was Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
That's fun.
And,
good company.
And some conservative, I'm trying to remember his name, black conservative talk show host out on the West Coast.
Not Lewis Black.
No. Lewis Black isn't right wing. Let me see here. And anyway, so it was, and I, quite frankly, when I was talking about it, I said, you know, if anybody should get it, it should be Sally.
Okay? Yes.
Because she did a radio show and she was in radio, you know, and she should get into the Hall of Fame. She didn't even make it. You know.
Yeah, well, and you worked with her at one point, didn't you? And you said she was a good broad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I worked with Sally Jesse Raphael. Here's my favorite quote of knowing Sally Jesse Raphael. I walk into the studio. She's still doing her show. She's in a break. I'm getting ready to do mine, which goes on right after her. And I said, so how you doing, Sally? And she looks at me and she says, I know who I fuck to get into this business. Who do I fuck to get out of it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what she said.
Excellent. Well, she had a really good wit, which I didn't think. I watched her on TV, and then
the TV show was terrible.
No, it was, and I didn't care for her much. I didn't think she was particularly good. But then I heard her on radio, and she's great on radio. I mean, she's just real.
Her producer, the TV show, became a good friend of mine. He wound up working over at Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
I had known him when I was at WMCA. He was the doorman. Yeah. I liked her, and I thought she was very good, and she did radio really well.
That's what.
And then she went and did this crazy TV show that just didn't live up to her intelligence, okay?
Yes, it didn't showcase her best side, her best gifts.
And that's a shame because people then remember that Sally Jesse Raphael. They don't remember the one that did radio.
Yeah, they remember the crooked glasses, which you can't see on radio.
So anyway, I'm wearing this Hall of Fame jacket. Radio Hall of Fame, which I got in San Francisco. Look how long ago it was. They just decided to make the jackets. 2008.
Yeah, because I knew I came out for it, you know, to watch you.
Yeah.
And that was a fun weekend.
Yeah, but anyway, so I they sent me this, which is very nice that they sent it to me. It's from 2008. They waited a long time to get me this jacket. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll take a cue from Sally Jesse Raphael. Who do I have to fuck to get a cool jacket like that?
Yes, exactly. Well, we got to get you into the San Francisco Bay Area Hall of Fame. You really
okay?
Do.
Well, we have a brick. Don't we?
I bought a brick. They have these bricks that are on the steps to the the Bay Area, what do they call it, museum or something. And they have these bricks, and you can buy a brick.
Uh-huh.
And you can put three lines on the brick.
Yes.
So I want to get one for Alex Bennett. And I thought, well, what else can I do on this brick? Do I want to write something like, you know. I used to be a big shot or whatever, you know.
Right.
And then I decided you should be there. So
I thought it was so nice.
So I put your name second on the brick.
Yeah.
And then I still have one line available, and I said, well, who else? Larry Bubbles Brown. You know, so for years after we're all gone, people will be able to step on your name.
That's right. You are my cohorts for eternity.
Yeah. I was thinking of buying another one for my mother. Ruth Bennett, the oldest disc jockey in America.
Oh, I'd forgotten that your mom did radio for a while.
So I'm thinking of doing that. I haven't bought her a tombstone yet, but I could do that for her.
Or, maybe you could just, like, run the brick back and forth to the cemetery.
Well, the brick's only $500, see? So,
stones are a little.
But I figured I got money to spare now, so I can buy. I can buy every brick in the stairway. You know.
That's right. You're got rocks now.
But I'm thinking really seriously about putting my mother up there.
That would be great. I think that would be fun. I enjoyed her. She was colorful. Your mom. Christy and I spent a whole afternoon with her, several days, in fact, because we were doing that reunion. When your reunion.
Well, everybody says, your mother's so cool. And I go, well, she's not your mother.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly explaining it. because we can't see the cool qualities in our parents.
Well, it's like when people say, you know, the kids, the people have it, and they're running around, and somebody says to them, your kids are terrific. And the parent's feeling is, they're not your kids. You know, you don't have to deal with them day in and day out, and, you know, them running around screaming, making, you know, eating sugar and then going crazy.
Yeah, it's like familiarity breeds contempt. I can't remember who said that.
Do you ever have any regrets about not having children?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, not even like once in a while when I see a darling cute kid. I love children, and I notice them all the time. But I just think for me to pass on my genetic history, there's a lot of mayhem in it.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily going to go to your kid, okay?
Really?
Yeah, no.
Depression and things like that.
Yeah, but do you think you would have made a good mother?
I think I will make a great, wonderful grandmother if someone give me a grandkid.
Oh, being a grandparent, I've talked to people who become grandparents. They say the wonderful thing about it is you got kids again, and you can dote on them, and you can give them presents, and you kiss them and hug them, and then you go home.
And give them,
Beyond that, you don't have to deal with them, you know.
Which would be a plus,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
But I just think the best thing, my dad was a really good parent when I was little, because my mom worked, and he was a stay-at-home husband. I mean, he worked on the railroad, but he had no seniority at the time. So, and he would just, his concept was, take the child wherever you're going. So that's what he did.
Yeah, my mother and my father have philosophy about me. Mm-hmm. Hey, he came into our life. We didn't come into his.
That's a good one.
You know? Yeah. And so he should adapt himself to everything we do.
Yeah, make a place for you.
So,
yeah.
I mean, number one, I stayed up later than any kid you know because my father was a musician.
Yeah.
Right? And he'd come back late at night, and he'd wake me up and kiss me and say hi and everything, and then he'd go to sleep. But my parents also felt they could take me anywhere.
Which is wonderful.
And what they could do, they trained me to do it. You know, they'd go to a party. Big drunken brawl that was going on in the other room. And they would put me in the bedroom, put me down, and I would go right to sleep.
Yeah, perfect approach.
That's how they felt about me. They took me everywhere they went.
That is a forward-thinking parent. That's what my dad did. Like, if he was going to the lumber yard, he'd take me with him.
Yeah, I still
love the smell of sawdust and new nails, you know.
New nails? What do new nails smell like?
Well, if you put your hand in them, they're oiled, you know. Nails are.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And you take it out, and there's this slight emollient effect, and they smell like metal and like, you know.
Does
like
it make your skin soft?
Well, it might. I know mink oil does.
I didn't know that nails had oil on them.
Well, yeah, I think that it was just so that they wouldn't chip or they wouldn't corrode or do whatever.
I think it was probably so they would go into a board easier.
It could be.
Yeah.
I didn't question.
I didn't know that. I never did any building, so I never knew that nails had oil on them.
Yeah, and like Dad had been really good at baseball when he was in high school, and so he took me to play baseball with his friends.
So you could have kids, but you just decided not to have them, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I could totally have
Marjorie kids. Is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me, you know what I went through. You know, I went through this thing about, well, maybe I shouldn't have a kid. You know,
had one yanked out from under
you.
Well,
I had one yanked out from under me, yeah. Yeah, when I was 19. I had a girlfriend, first girl I ever had sex with, and she got pregnant.
Pregville.
Yeah. And so I wanted to keep the kid and everything. I was going to marry her, and I was willing to do right. Okay.
Yeah, do whatever you were essentially schooled.
And the parents didn't want to do that. They wanted her to give up the kid, you know, which maybe was a good thing for her. It wasn't a good thing for the kid. So what I wanted to do is adopt the kid myself. But in those days, and today, I could. A guy right. could do that. Back in those days, forget it.
They yeah. Just, you know. It was almost unheard of in those days yeah. for a single man to adopt a child.
Absolutely.
But that's, I think, as far as the parenting issue, would ring really loudly in your mind.
Well, because I had a kid taken from me.
Yes, that's what I mean.
My attitude was that I want to see if I can change the. Is it okay? No, it's all right. It's going okay. I'm looking for. I get out of sync, and I don't know why. I wish I could solve the problem.
It is really frustrating when yeah. you get your.
I bought a more expensive computer. I thought would take care of it, and it didn't.
No.
But anyway, where was I? So
you were talking about the
yeah,
child.
The kid got taken from me, and so on. And I, by the way, I knew it was a boy. You know how I knew it was a boy? I went to her doctor and I talked to him about it. And I said, I'd like to adopt a child and blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, I think you should just give up on all of that, you know. And he even indicated that she was somewhat of a slut.
Whoa.
And it might not be mine, okay?
I wonder if he did that to make you feel better. Because I know that was shaming. That's
yeah,
a way to
yeah,
shame.
Yeah, this is back. This is way back, okay, folks?
Yeah.
And so he left the room for a minute. And I have an ability. It's the only strange ability I have. I can read anything that's upside down.
I have that quality as well. And it gets you a lot of,
and
you know.
And so he had the paper out there with all the information. And it said boy. Or male, and I knew it was a boy. So, but it didn't have any name on it or any place where the kid was going or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a male boy. So I know it's a male.
Yeah, yeah. And probably in the Bay Area. So.
And I've decided it's probably Howard Stern. So, you know.
Well, because you're not, you're not that much older than me, but you're old enough that I could have dated your son unknowingly.
Like, oh, I could. My son right now would be, let's see, I'm 85, and the baby was handing him 80. He could be 65. He could be almost your age. Yeah.
That's my dating pool right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it happened, Ben.
Well, when you were dating.
Right.
Yeah. which we're all glad we don't have to date anymore.
You know what? I just always thought it kind of got in the way of fun things. I mean, when people pursue it, like that's going to make them complete.
Well, you know, it's just I didn't want to. I don't know. Just it didn't work for me. You know,
the dating thing.
The dating thing. The first dates are always, you know, it's clumsy and everything like that. You know,
and they're the same format. You tell them about yourself. They tell you about themselves. You see if you have anything.
And then you have to agree with the person. You know, like the girl says, oh, well, you know, I work in a nail salon. Oh, that must be interesting.
That's got to be fascinating.
And then you get into a discussion about nails. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And all you're trying to do is get laid. So, you know,
yeah,
you're a guy. That's your job.
Yeah, maybe there should be a syllabus for dates. Like, you know, and the end of yours would be wants to get laid.
Wants to get laid, yeah.
Yeah.
The hobbies, sex. You
yeah.
know, I'll leave it at that.
that's it. Have you tried speed dating, the speed dating that was popular in the 80s?
Oh, no. I did. Marjorie and I met on J-Date.
That's right, which is just like the Hebrew dating service.
Jewish dating service where there were no Jews.
Oh, now could you go on there if you were a Gentile wanting a Jewish?
Yeah, they didn't care. They didn't care.
Really?
Yeah. It was J-Date. They wanted to make money.
Well, you guys got so blessed, man, with your you finding each other because she's
That's because she's not your wife. You know, it's the same thing as with kids. She's not your wife, you know. Oh, Marjorie's so wonderful. Yeah, I know she's wonderful, but she's not your wife, you know.
That's just it. When you live with someone, think of your siblings. Mm-hmm. They got on your nerves, and I even get on my own nerves.
I never had siblings. I never had brothers.
That's right. You never did.
Only child.
Yeah. Which I think I was for 4 years, and then they decided to have, you know, a couple more.
Well, when, my mother did get pregnant, and she was having, you know, she was going to have a child, and then she had a miscarriage.
Did you know what kind? What flavor?
No. But we decided to eat the fetus just for the fun of it. But.
Yeah. Say, forget the placenta. We're going right for the gung-ho.
No, but it was really, and I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to having a brother or a sister or something like that.
Well, my little sister, who's 4 years younger, I thought she was born just for me, as a present for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was fabulous. And then we had a third sister who came along a little later, and the bond was not as strong because basically the middle child and I palled around all the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it depends on birth order. I think birth order.
Birth order is sometimes a
predictor?
A predictor. It's not a predictor. That's not what I'm looking for. It dictates your personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Most definitely.
Now, I'm an only child, so that's it. You know, Marjorie always makes fun of me. Oh, you're an only child. And I go, yes. And your point is?
You have an issue with that because you're jealous?
I got all the presents I wanted. Screw you. You know.
I was a star of that show.
No. I mean, but there's also when you're an only child, there's more of a responsibility. Like when my mother got old and she had to be in the home for, you know, Jewish old people.
That's very true.
There was no one there to help me.
No.
You know, there's no one I could call up and say, hey, it's your turn to go out to the hospital and take care of her.
Yeah, that was good because you manned up.
I kind of manned up, yeah, but then I moved to New York.
Oh, when she was alive, I'd forget.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew the first gig in New York.
Yeah, and then I got a call. I was shopping in Macy's for shirts, and I get a call. It's from her doctor, and he says, "Listen, she refuses to eat. Now we can feed her intravenously, you know, but she doesn't want to eat. So we should. If she doesn't want to eat, that's her choice.
Yes.
And she's 100 years old. We should let her go." Do we have your permission? And I said, you have my permission. I mean, you can put the food out in front of her and see if she eats and all that, but you don't have to stick the needle in her arm. You know?
Yeah, I think autonomy is something people cling to understandably.
But again, as an only child, that was my decision to make.
Yeah.
And then I went back to getting shirts. And my mother died actually about 3 days later.
Yeah, well, that's my dad. After my mother died, we knew that if she went first, he'd be fine, but she would not if he went first. Mm-hmm. But he just stopped eating because Peg was gone. What was he going to live for? Who was he going to live for?
Nobody. Yeah,
and he weighed 83 pounds when he died, and.
Yeah.
That's less than I weigh at any time.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, if Marjorie went before me, I think that I would... Oh, I would go out and date, I guess. I don't know what I would
do.
No, I don't know. I think, because at our age, you got to think about, well, she could go first, or I could go first. Somebody's going to go first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that mystery of not knowing. I would like to have the curtain pulled back.
By the way, we're almost running out of time, but we're going to go over because I don't care. I enjoy talking to you.
I don't care.
Because I got one more thing to talk to you about. But anyway, it was a rough thing being an only child because of that. You know, she didn't have anybody else to share the problems.
Responsibilities.
Yeah.
Well, as being an oldest child is no picnic because when they're younger children, if they get into any trouble at all, it's your fault as the oldest.
Yeah.
supposed to look after them. And like,
oh God.
My sister got caught once sitting, lifting a pair of sunglasses at the local mall, mm-hmm. and I got chewed out. My dad said he was going to break my neck.
Because you should have been watching out for her. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know she had the sunglasses. And it wasn't like she was a chronic thief, you know, some kind of reprobate.
Right. Now, but, you still have a good relationship with your sister?
No, I wish I did.
What do you mean? What happened?
She doesn't return any of my calls. She doesn't. I get the Christmas presents back, return to sender. I don't know what she's mad about. I know when our parents died, she was the executor, but we were getting along fine. And I don't know if she did, you know, because villains have to be created to justify some villainous mm-hmm. activity. Mm-hmm. And I heard what villains. Anyway, you create villainy to hide the villainy.
Yeah, but I just don't understand why all of a sudden she'd stop.
Well, that's what, I don't know if she wanted to make a hinky decision where the estate was concerned, and she could justify it by making me this ogre. I thought of that. Or, I don't know, because I can't have offended her. We weren't.
That's a shame, because the two of you got along up until that point.
Yeah.
And you got each other, and you got a third sister, right?
Yeah, Julie, the youngest one. She does whatever the middle one tells her to.
So she doesn't talk to you either?
No. And my middle sister, my sister that I don't get along with, she is the type of person, if she's got a beef with somebody, she insists that everyone in the county have that same beef with the person.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and so...
Mm. This must be what it's like growing up in the Midwest. I don't know, you know.
It's just...
That's a shame. It's a shame because, you know, all you've got are each other, you know.
Yeah. And we had, you know, before, when we were kids, we had the best relationship ever. I mean, it was so loving. Yeah. I would have died for her, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's amazing. So anyway, the thing that I want to talk to you about, and that's why we're running over here, is you and I, you're coming to San Francisco.
Yes.
And we're going
to do something with you that I'm so excited about. And
I don't know exactly what we're doing.
Well,
but I've got somebody who came along, Len LaFrisco, who said, let me produce. I'll take care of it all.
Yeah.
And he has taken care of it all. He booked Slayton on the show. He got Durst.
I know. Broadway, you mean Broadway star Will Durst?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been real helpful. I've been talking to him, and yeah, he's making it easy.
Yeah, so he's making it really easy for you, and he'll probably take care of everything.
Good.
I mean, we'll have to figure out the flights and the plans for that, and you know, and where did he has a budget to work with. So,
yeah.
You know, you're going to get like $1,000, and out of that, you have to pay for your plane flight. You know.
Yeah.
You get a hotel room at the Miyako Hotel.
Yeah.
For two nights, you got two nights.
Yeah. And he has made it. He also volunteered his flight. Service, his flight checking service, making the airline arrangement.
Yeah, yeah. I asked him to do it. I figured, how much is he going to do? And before I knew it, he took charge. He just took charge.
I got a really good vibe from him when I talked
and
to him.
And I said, how much you want to get paid for this? And he said, nothing.
Uh-huh. Nice, you know. Nice fellow.
But I plan to throw him some bucks, you know.
Yeah.
Good, but, doing a good job. But anyway, so we're going to go out and we're going to do this thing. It's only an hour and a half at the Sketch Fest.
Right, and it'll be at Cobb's where we've done live shows before.
Yeah, and I don't know what exactly we're supposed to do.
Well, I think he's got a loose format, and then it's up to us.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Breakfast with Bennett.
Well, he said what we'll probably do is do it almost like it was a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think he had.
And I'll bring on each comic, you know, and they'll do maybe 10 minutes. And then we'll sit down with them in the next one. And then finally, the three of them will all juice it up with each other. And then Buddy Love is offered to play there.
Yes. Yeah, so that will be, it will be like the Breakfast with Bennett because they were so fun.
Yeah.
Man, I meet people on cruises. that used to go to the breakfast with Bennett's when they find out what I've done. Yeah.
And we should record the whole thing.
Most staff. And just seeing everybody. I'm so, because I used to love going to work in the morning with you, because it's like we get to hang out with like all of our friends on the commute. We get to hang out with them.
Yeah, we used to have a studio audience, so you had them to deal with, you know.
Yeah,
and that was good.
Oh, it was great. And the bigger audience, I just imagined in their cars. And if we could do something that made going to their job even the least little bit fun. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm hoping we will fill the place up.
Yes, me too. And Cobbs. I like Cobbs for a venue.
You know, so hold on a second. I just want to change my picture here because it's out of sync. There we go. That's a little better. No, maybe it's not a little better.
Now, I know when closed caption and the video are not in sync, it's very obvious.
You know, that's different. That's a different deal.
What is this kind of in sync?
This is just that I lose my sync. Here we go. I got myself back in sync. Hold on.
Along with the rest of your plumbing.
There we go. A little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah. But
anyway. It looked syncy to me before, but...
Oh, no, we're in sync. It's just the thing I'm recording on, it goes out of sync, and I just have no idea why, you know.
Because it's persnickety.
It's persnickety. That's a very good term, persnickety. They use that in the Midwest a lot. Everything is persnickety.
But that is destined for the slang graveyard. I've noticed. I've got this imaginary slang graveyard. And there's so many that fit that bill. I'll flesh it out. We can talk about it.
Yeah, persnickety. That's a really old term. Yeah. Here are a couple other old terms. Icebox.
Oh, yeah.
I actually, my place in San Francisco, I had an icebox. It wasn't a working icebox, but it was the icebox was still there in the kitchen.
And guys used to come right every morning with a big block of ice and put it in there,
and then you would keep your stuff cool. But
yay! Yeah. Well, I'm so excited. I mean, very excited. Yeah. I can't wait to see you because I didn't get to see you this year.
Yeah, well, no, we haven't seen each other in quite a while.
In the flesh, where I can pinch your cheeks.
However, I'm probably staying with Buddy Love and not staying at the hotel, but I'll go by the hotel and see everybody. You know.
Or does he have palatial digs? Yeah, because we're going to be keggers in Slayton and Iser rooms.
Oh, really? You're all in the same hotel together. You may as well.
We're going to pretend like we're Motley Crue on tour.
Yeah. So, I don't know if Slayton was ever a drinker. I don't think so.
I don't think he was, and I'm not anymore. So,
As I say, he's Jewish. Of course he's not a drinker. You know, Jewish men are not drinkers.
Really? Yeah. Is it just keep an edge in their dealings?
I don't know why that's so, but it's very.
It's a positive quality that will serve you in business for sure.
Well, excuse me, I've got to go because I got some other people that want to talk to me.
Okay, because you are one popular cat.
That's Lori Thompson, and she's a very popular kitten. Okay, is that the best way to put it?
Yeah, that's a good way. Better than the other way, the P word, yes.
Yes. I mean, I wish I were a shapeshifter, and then I would be something, I don't know, Siamese cat, I think.
Well, you've been a shapeshifter, so we could, you have a shapeshifting on your resume.
Lori Thompson, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for her. Yay!
Now, in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Ah, yes. Thank you so much, Lori Thompson. We really appreciate your participation. This participation. I sound like I'm a Rocky Horror Pictures show. Anyway, let me get myself together here. Ah, I'm a little higher than I should be. Ah, I'll sink. Anyway. Hello, everybody. How are you? It is Wednesday, and Wednesday we do a show. We won't do one tomorrow night. We won't do one on Thursday, mainly because we have no interview for Thursday, so we'd rather just take the night off, you know. I'm just lazy that way, but we'll see you again on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody. No, anyway, so. Let me bring in the panel, as it were. Admit all. Okay, is everybody somebody I know? Yeah, they're all somebody I know. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. There they are. Okay, there's. Hey, how are you, Kevin?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. That place is getting to look really empty.
Yep.
Yep. He's moving up to Oregon.
It's just about done.
Yeah. You're selling that place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're going to be moving up to Oregon permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I hope to be up there. Well, we're shooting for Thanksgiving. Hopefully the 1st of December.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. And you have all your furniture in by then and stuff? And
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, either that or you have a bunch of boxes inside, right?
Yeah, and it's been one of those things where everything I do, things are going wrong.
Oh, okay.
My truck's been in the shop for almost 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Can't go up there, and it's like just one thing after another.
How long does it take you to get up there from where you are now?
Basically 10 hours.
Wow.
10 and a half hours.
That's quite a move.
It is.
Yeah, but you're going to be near your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's going to school in the University of Oregon?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And she plays in the band there?
Yep. And we were up there last week and in the rain.
Okay.
Was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last. Maybe it was the week before.
Oh.
Whenever they played last.
They come back home and you hit the rain again today.
It was pouring rain up there the whole time.
Well, that part of the world is a little on the wet side.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's. I expect that. I don't care. I like it.
I would rather have that than a really hot weather.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
Does it get really hot up there? Does it kind of
just. It does.
It does. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It'll get hot. Yeah. You know, it's a lot like the Bay Area weather with a little more rain.
Okay. Okay.
Because it doesn't get too hot. It's usually nice. And my daughter says, you know, they say it's going to rain and it rains for 5 minutes and then it goes away. And they don't do the rain all day. So.
Amazing. Hello there to Charlie. How you doing, Charlie?
Hi. Doing pretty good.
What does that thing say? You matter what?
You matter unless you multiply yourself by the speed of light twice and then you energy.
That's a good
one. I said, do you matter even if you're a cowboy fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, don't.
He had to go there, didn't he?
Yeah.
How about
people are just mean. What can I say?
Yeah. Hey, Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I hear you're going to be in San Francisco at the end of January.
Yes. You just found out?
I was watching the pop-up.
Oh, okay.
Last night, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, do you have any details? Can we book seats?
Well,
right. On his Facebook, you see.
What?
On your Facebook, it has the details, right?
And on the
day they go on sale and stuff.
But no, I don't know when they go on sale, but it's going to be January. It's going to be January 12th. But for people,
31st.
For like people 31st. In the Bay Area, we're trying to get you comps. Okay.
31st.
What?
Oh, okay.
That you said 31st before.
31st. Yeah. Excuse me. 31st.
You're going to get us comps?
Well, I'm going to try to. Okay. I don't know. Because these people are cheap on comps. You know. So
Adrienne has a great disguise, so we'll sneak her in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a kid. What's her disguise?
Oh, no. She looks like an adult now. We got a costume for her.
Yeah?
No problem.
No
she's coming right in.
She's going to be your date, Alex.
She'll walk right in?
Yes. You won't even know.
Will they allow? I don't know whether they allow kids in there.
I don't think so. I think it's 21 over, right?
Yeah.
Cops. How many does cops hold?
Not
400, I think.
What?
400, I think.
No, more than that. Yeah, 400, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've only been there once many years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah. Whatever. I think I might be able to fit an extra couple of people in there. I remember when it was the, what was it, Wolfgang's?
Did he call my name?
Hey there, how you doing?
Oh, she heard her name.
Yeah, we were talking how we're going to disguise you as an adult.
We're going to sneak you in the comedy club. Alex gets here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Cobb
will dress her up as a old lady, and then, you know, her and Marjorie could be holding hands, walk right in, and, you know, nobody know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marjorie and her friend.
I know somebody, this is just unofficial, of course, that can make fake IDs.
All right, good. We'll make her a fake ID.
Yeah, we'll make her 22 years old or 50 years old or whatever, you know.
Well, right now, as she is right now, she would not pass for 22. But I saw your Halloween picture, and you would pass for, what would she pass for? You know? I don't know.
At least 18, 16, 17, I don't know.
Yeah, but what is it, 21 and over at Cobb's?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God. Oh, well, I don't know.
The thing is, Alex, if you're the headliner, which you are, you should be able to just bring her in as part of your cast or something like that. And then she can go sit down with Daddy.
I might be able to figure out something like that, yeah.
What? Okay, goodbye.
What's that?
Hello, this is grown-ups talking.
No, but what is that? What are you doing?
6'7".
I was just going to say, that's probably 6'7". What the hell is 6'7"?
It's just something.
Adrian. No, what I'll is tell 6'7"?
You. I know what 6'7" is.
Adrian.
It's something that was invented by kids to annoy adults.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's why I wanted her to. Explain it.
Remember when she used to be so shy? That was so nice. She used to hide behind me all the time. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Yo, Adrian, what is 6'7"?
Adrian, what's 6'7"?
I'm gone.
See, they won't tell you. They won't tell you. They won't tell you.
We just want to irritate you.
It just irritates you. It means nothing. Means nothing. You know,
and then, they say gnarly is their word, one of their new words. Gnarly. And I said, no, that was our word.
That was
gnarly
our
gnarly and radical. Those were our 80s words.
Yeah, a rad. You know. Hello,
my
Brian.
My rad's overheating.
I'm saying hello to Brian. Brian's already.
That's okay. You call me Brian all the time.
Oh, yeah, you called me. Yeah.
The other day you said goodbye to Brian twice.
I know. Hey. Get Say off my case. I'm an old man. Okay.
I have the beard.
Yeah.
At least you know Kevin listens to the rest of the show after he takes off, so that's good.
Yeah. And Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I'm good. Doing good.
Okay.
I'm in Connecticut. How do you like that?
In Connecticut.
You're back.
I'm at home.
Are you going to be in California at the end of January?
Yeah. I have to see my
cousin. Don't forget me, Alex, because I'm going to drive down from Oregon. If I can't get in, I'm going to be pissed.
Well,
I know you're not guaranteeing anything, but just let me know.
Well,
you dress up as Santa Claus. You can get right in.
Len's in charge of getting the tickets, but I think we're going to be able to do. We're going to have 10 comps, so there's enough comps here for people. Yeah, one, two, three, and who else is there in the area?
California.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you gotta make sure, and I will volunteer to get in front of the crowd and make sure everybody knows about the ramble. See if we just spike up from like 30 people watching to maybe 40 people watching.
Yeah, they'll get us 40 people now. Yeah, yeah.
I'll make everybody get out their phones and go on YouTube and subscribe.
Okay, that sounds good.
Just put a QR code and make them scan it and stuff all over the place.
Oh, you want to come in? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
I have a QR code.
There you go. Bring it with you.
You just laminate it and say you got to scan
it. It's on the website, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on there now. Is it still on there? I don't know what's on that there right now. You go down to the QR code is gone. I'm going to have to make a new QR code.
You know, one person you might want to invite is Steve Fox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Gee, you know, every time we do somebody, we have one less seat for somebody else. So,
I'll buy my ticket. I don't mind.
No, you don't have to do that. You know, we'll figure it out. I'll tell Lynn.
I don't know what tickets cost there.
No, I also have to have two for my business manager. That's it. Yeah.
What did tickets cost there? $20, $30 a head?
I don't know. What are they? Do you know what they're charging, Kevin? You've looked at the site.
Yeah, it didn't say. It wouldn't.
I couldn't find it on their site either. Monday
it
wouldn't.
After. I found out where you were and all that, but the day and all that, but it doesn't have tickets for sale yet. So.
Yeah, they want me to turn out a piece of artwork for their thing. And I don't know. I haven't come up with any artwork yet. And they want it on Friday.
How about what's behind you?
My daughter could have done it for you.
Yeah, really?
That's what she goes in the school for.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just thinking of taking a shot of my back and just having a thing that says Bennett's back.
Hmm. There you go.
On the side of a bus.
On the side of a bus.
God, yes.
God, I've got a headache right now.
With Terry McGovern, you and him holding each other's shirt. Growling at each other.
Oh, yeah. That was a cover of
I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm going, I know who McGovern is. Who is this Alex Bennett guy?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. I had this black duffel bag that I've had forever, and I had like old pictures and old stuff, like memory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what I did with that stuff, but I had pictures from Breakfast with Bennett.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With
all your
I told you before people. With what's his name from the Boomtown Rats when he was there singing and, a bunch of pictures. I was always front row.
Oh, wow.
I had no life back then.
Okay. You had no life.
All those pictures had a different girl in each one.
Wow. Let me see here. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find something here. I don't know if I can find it, but I'll look at that. It's too much to look for. I thought I'd look for. I have that cover in my photos, but I don't know where it is, and it doesn't matter anyway. So anyway, anybody hear of anything interesting that's happened in America?
Yes.
Our
election yesterday.
Our
50
passed.
Yeah, 50 passed.
Passed
also.
Yep. And I got nailed yesterday at the voting center.
Yeah. What do you mean you got nailed?
All day long, nonstop. Really? At least 10 people in line.
Wow.
Really?
Started at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Started at 6 a.m. and I got home last night at 11:30.
That's why you get the big PM. Bucks.
And it was only in California. And you usually go to the polls, and there's two sides to the, the polling. Mm-hmm. And there was only one thing on the poll, on the ballot yesterday. In
two.
The, in
no, one.
Two.
You guys had two.
A.
Huh?
You measure two. A. Also.
In Santa Clara, you had two. We had one.
Yeah, measure A. So measure A was adding more tax to help subsidize what the government's not helping with all the hospital workers, ER, all that stuff.
Okay.
But I, man.
Did it pass? No, I mean, did it pass?
Yeah, it passed. It passed 47 to 51 or something. But I don't know. I have a hard time voting for something that the government should be taking care of.
Yep. I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And I voted, I think, against the party, my party, but I just, that's where
that's my issue with Newsom is there's no, I don't think he handles money well.
He remember when during COVID? Laundry.
I don't know, he seems to have a lot of it.
You remember COVID?
I know, somebody who handles money worse, okay? Because he's had more bankruptcies than, you can name.
Yeah, so that was a, that was something that, usually I don't do that, but yeah, anyways. But I just, you know, what are you supposed to have? You're supposed to have sympathy for all the people picketing who are working at the hospitals who need that bump because the government's not giving it out anymore while the government's doing other stupid stuff. It's so hard to.
Yeah, but you know, if we wait for this government to do anything, those people are going to be in bad shape. That's the problem. I mean, it's what you could say, it's a shame that we have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've always been with you. I've always been against raising money when the government should be doing its job and saying you got to get the government to do their job. It's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But
of course, Donald Trump claims that all these blue states that had winnings, including the mayor of New York. He claims that they were all wrong, set up, fraud, all that kind of
stuff. Well, no, he said that it wasn't against him.
Sure, yeah. It was.
But it was. Absolutely. I was saying that if we want to thank anybody, you can't really thank the Democrats. They couldn't, find their ass with a baseball bat, okay? Person who gave us that win in all those states, including what happened here in New York, was Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We have him to thank for yesterday and for the wins. I think it's sad that the Democrats didn't have anything to do with it.
Two new Democrat governors in the country.
Did you see Chuck Schumer backing Mondami?
Finally.
Yeah.
So, Alex, what are the things that he's
going to change? Excuse me. What?
Oh, yeah. You see Saturday Night Live? Yeah, <right. laughs> So I know you like him. So what do you expect, it'd be nice if there's a wave of some of his thoughts that he has, but what do you expect that he's going to change pretty quick and back what he's...
I think he can do pretty much off the bat. I mean, I do think the thing about the free buses, I think he can pull off, mm-hmm. and the child care, he could pull off. I saw him today in an interview, and they said, well, how do you expect to pay for the child care? And he said, I've talked to companies in this town who said they'd be willing to chip in to pay for child care. He said, because they need it for their employees. Yeah. To keep mm-hmm. employees in this town, a thing like, free child care is a must, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he's got a plan where he's going to get it from these various places, and he wants to charge billionaires 1% tax on their yearly income. I don't see that's unreasonable. If a billionaire can't afford 1%, then they're not a billionaire, okay?
1% of what, though?
That's interesting, because if you're saying you're going after the billionaire, he'll just take his money and get 25 cents a year from his company, and he has mm-hmm. all that stock going. I think he's going to have a way around that. They're not going to let people pull that scam.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he's going to do it, to be honest with you. He's explained how he's going to do it, and I've heard him explain it. All sounds reasonable. But, he still has to get it through a lot of people. And
our favorite Republican here in the Bay Area that we all know from the show, I'll leave nameless. You want to put his name in, that's up to you.
Oh, you mean Phil Meyer?
Yeah, he says the guy is anti-Jew.
No, he's not.
No. I haven't heard that. No. I haven't heard anything about him being anti-Jew.
No, that's what they use to try and get people to not vote for him.
Yeah.
But he's not anti-Jew.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard him say anything negative about Jews.
He is against any kind of the prejudice against people and anti-Semitism and racism.
You're talking about the Republican Party,
He has been the subject of it himself. Okay,
sure.
And he has said constantly. He said, "People say that the Jews should be frightened if I get elected, and so on and so forth." And he said, "It's just not true."
Yeah.
Just not true. And what? Somebody want to say something?
No. It's clear my throat.
Oh, okay. But that was. They knew there were a lot of Jews in New York, so they used that as the argument. I'll tell you the guy who became a total disappointment to me in the last year was Mario Cuomo. you know, he saved my life during COVID. I think he saved the lives of a lot of people during COVID. And I think that he was doing the right thing back then. And he also had a kind of interesting quality about him, and it wasn't, but this time he was just Mr. Grumpy.
Yeah.
And he did nothing but really play the race card against Mondami.
How old is
Mondani? What?
How old is Cuomo?
I don't know, 71, 72, maybe.
Oh, yeah, they get that.
But, I mean, what he should have done, like last night he had his concession speech, and we were saying if he just gave a concession speech where he was just nice and everything, and then, of course, he wished well of Mondani, which he did. He said, I wish him well, but that was it. It was just like one sentence. What he should have done was something like say, I really am happy for him, and I hope he does a great job. And as the governor of New York for many years, and as a politician who knows how to get things done, if you need my help, I'm here to help you. And then I would have said, good for you, Cuomo. But instead, it was like a bitter 10 minutes of speaking, you know?
Did the former mayor, what's the black former?
Oh, Adams, yeah.
Yeah, did he have anything good to say?
No.
Here's the club.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, they're all saying now, all of a sudden, New Yorkers are going to leave New York.
Mm.
You know, the wealthy New Yorkers will leave New York.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't think they will. I mean, how many times have you said, you know, if so-and-so becomes president, I'm moving to another country? Well, did you
actors, remember?
Yeah, did you ever do it? You know, I think we're not going to lose many New Yorkers. And I think business is going to find that what he's doing is going to help business because it's going to bring people into the city. It's going to start the pool of people you can pull from to work for you out of a larger amount of people. I just think all he wants to do is to make New York City affordable and a happier place to live, okay? And I think that he's, you know, he's going to do it. What do you think, Jeff? You live in Connecticut and you were watching this whole thing going on.
I thought his presentations, which I got a chance to look at those, he's terrific.
Yeah.
He really is.
His speech last night, except, you know, saying that he won, was a terrific speech.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about what I saw the day before and maybe the day before that, where people were interviewing them. I think it was on MSNBC,
mm-hmm.
where they had seven people interviewing them together.
Yeah.
And all asking them questions and things like that. And I think he's very clear as to what he wants to do. And I know, I've always said my son is interested about him forever. So,
yeah.
I've always take that approach, but recently I got to really read about him and listen to him. And I think he's going to do a great job.
Well, I voted for Cuomo in the primary because I didn't know much about this guy. You know, I mean, he came up since January. In January, he had a 1%, 1% of the vote. That's in January. By November, he won the election. Okay? So there wasn't time for a lot of us to get to know him. And so I didn't know much about him, so I just voted for Cuomo because, you know, Cuomo did okay by me during the COVID thing. But then I looked at him the day after the election and I said, boy, I'm sorry I didn't vote for him. And so I voted for him. This time I got to vote for him. I got to vote for him for the goods, you know. So, you know, I feel maybe he won't do great, you know, but at least it's going to be a different way of trying to do things, which is different than the old line, you know, Schumer-esque. Way of doing stuff, mm-hmm. which has gotten pretty terrible. You know, I think Chuck Schumer, if you're watching, why don't you resign today? You know, and let's we need younger people in there. And this is an old guy saying it. But, you know, having a 34-year-old guy as mayor, he's going to think outside the box. Whereas when you get to be Mario Cuomo's age, you only think about the way you've been doing things for years. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. And that's what we're going to get. And I find it exciting. Mm-hmm. You know. So, anyway. Any other comments about Mondale?
Well, I just want to say, you know, we've got a whole bunch of states that are running by women at this year.
Yeah.
This is changing.
Oh, yeah. There's also, wow, you know, there's one other. Crazy. There's one other thing. There was one other race that they don't talk about much. Down in Philadelphia, they had a re-election of three members of the federal court there, or the federal court, and they had them. It was a very liberal court, and all you had to do was vote yes on them, you know. And they won. All three Democrats won again. Reassignment to the court. So it's really terrific, and that's a court where Trump's going to have to go to get some things done, you know. So
yes, Slayton will be able to use some of his old material. Remember, he had that joke about women running all these countries before. He used to have a little thing.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good. It's really good. And
the Supreme Court today weighed in on Donald Trump's tariffs too.
What did they say?
Well, they said that they think it's illegal.
Well, they didn't say they thought it was illegal. They sat there hearing the arguments, and it was said that they looked like they were not going to vote for it. You know,
right?
They were not going to be for it. And I think at this point they're looking for something to not give Donald Trump, because they're looking pretty bad these days, you know? So,
I think the American public ought to sue him for destroying part of the White House.
Well, I think he should be forced to rebuild it. Rebuild it and out of his own pocket. Because that's nobody right. told him he could tear that thing down. And you know what I'm thinking of? It's going to be that he's not going to do anything about building that ballroom. But that part of the east wing that was torn down is going to still be torn down, and all the, you know, the wood and stuff. It's going to look like a redneck's lawn, you know?
That's good. When he's out of power, we could hire some of these hardworking Mexicans to come up and rebuild the east wing.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people are mad that he's going to spend that kind of money, even though he says it's not his money, it's not the government's money, it's private money that's going to be building that. But did you see what he did to the bathroom in the Lincoln bedroom?
No. Yes, I did.
Marble
and gold.
Saturday Night Live wasn't that bad this week. Remember they showed that, and they said, "Wow, that floor looks very slippery." They said something about the floor.
Well, have you seen the toilet?
Oh God!
It looks out a window, and it's at window height.
Yep.
So you could see who's ever taking a dump in there. I mean, it's terrible what he's doing, you know. And somebody's going to have to go in and repair this. You know, I remember when Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, were assailed for spending all kinds of money on this, you know, on the people were spending on this hotel or whatever, and that they had their room in the hotel, and it had gold faucets. Mm-hmm. They made a big deal out of those gold faucets. And I'm looking at Trump's, and I'm going, and nobody's talking about this, you know? Nobody's complaining about this. And by the way, that took government money to build that marble. You know. I mean, all you have to look at is Trump Tower to see what a bad designer this guy is. You know? Taj Mahal was no picnic. So, anyway.
I heard all the people who are working on this new building that Trump is building.
Yeah.
And they absolutely hate the job that they have to do.
They hate the job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, good luck getting paid.
They're getting paid, so.
Yep.
Saturday Night Live had their skit with the two guys who build, and they.
Oh, yeah, the Property Brothers. Yeah.
Property Brothers. They're Property Brothers with Trump. And then at the end, he said, hey, are we going to get paid? And he said, so he said something like, don't you know who I am? Or something like that.
Yeah. They said. Yeah.
But they didn't get paid at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible what he's done and not asking permission to do it. You know? I mean, he tore that thing down before anybody said stop.
Yeah, he didn't give him a chance.
I mean, that was, what, torn down in about 2 days?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of history in that East Wing, and that's very unfortunate.
Well, it's not. It's only 100 years old. There's more history in the West Wing, I think, and there's more history, of course, in the main building.
That's all gold.
But also,
now.
He's building the ballroom, which is going to be larger than the White House. You don't do that. You know, you don't want to make the White House look small. You want it to look as big as possible, but not have a ballroom. And do I get to, you know, I own part of that building. You own part of that building. That's the people's house. Do we all get to go to the ballroom and dance? Is there going to be a sock hop there? What? You know? I mean, it's just, and you know, the optics of Trump the other day when they stopped all the SNAP benefits and he's holding his Gatsby party at Mar-a-Lago. My, what a bad set of optics that is.
Well, another bad set of optics is while the country shut down, he's off touring Japan and other countries.
Yeah, but the worst was that party, okay? Because he was back home by then when he could have done something. Yep. I mean, at the time that he left the country, he should have never left anyway because of the crisis with the, you know, with trying to, you know, make the budget go. And he wasn't here. And he could, if he was here as president, he kind of shepherds that. He has meetings. He forces people. He talks people into stuff, you know. But there was none of that. The big deal maker was, you know, out in South Korea getting a crown.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's just bad optics all the way around.
There's a Burger King in South Korea. They give out the little paper crowns to the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, so you know, I mean, the optics that he's created lately are just terrible. And that's what won the Democrats the election the other day.
Yep.
You know? And then he says, well, you know, it wasn't a referendum against me. Yes, it was. Very much so. People are saying, hey, what do we need the Republicans for? They're not doing anything for us. What do we need Trump for? Let's put in people that are going to piss him off. Do you know how pissed he has got to be about Mondani winning in New York City? He did everything he could to make him lose.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't work. And on top of that, he got an endorsement from Donald Trump. Cuomo got an endorsement from Donald Trump. That was the death knell for Mario Cuomo.
And Cuomo said also, he said that wasn't an endorsement from me. That was that he was not endorsing Mondani. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that he came out for Cuomo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, come on. I think it's terrible that he didn't come out for Sliwa. In fact, is a Republican, but I don't think the Republicans did anything to get Sliwa elected. And I think Sliwa would have done better, okay, if they had just gotten behind him. But I don't think the Republican Party did. Because, again, Sliwa was kind of an outlier. Mm-hmm. You know.
But didn't the Republicans spend something like $40 million to not get Mondami in?
Well, I mean, they were spreading all kinds of lies, like the one your friend heard, that, you know, he hates Jews. No, I have no indication he hates Jews, and I'm very sensitive towards that sort of thing, you know. But, you know, that was being used to discredit him.
If he hates Jews, what is he going to do? What would he do? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a quarter of New York is Jewish.
What does Phil think that he's going to do to the Jews?
I think what he likes most about New York, and this is strange, but what he likes most about New York is the diversity of people and the fact that we have all kinds of races and creeds and philosophies living in this town, and that's what makes it great, and we should be celebrating that. And they just went after him. You can't believe some of the ads. You know, they were horrible. And when he would run ads, he ran very positive ads. Here's what I'm going to do for New York. You know, here's what I'm going to do that I believe in. You know, and everything that Cuomo was running was Mondami hates Jews, Mondani, you know, about whatever.
That'd be nice. That'd be a nice law that they would have to do. If they had any advertising for their campaigns, would have to be positive about themselves and nothing talk about the.
Well, that's what it turns me off about certain politicians. If they're not talking mostly about themselves, I understand you're running against somebody and certainly you want to say how you're better than they are.
Right.
But you know, when you spend the majority of your ad just putting down the other person, I'm sorry, I'm not voting for you. That's all. Yeah. You know, that's a waste of my time. That's a waste of your time. And it's very vexing. It bothers you a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also something that is a endemic to our times. But I think people learned that by doing this, you don't get elected because Cuomo maybe could have gotten elected in this town if he'd taken a very positive approach, and he didn't. He took a very negative approach. So,
and then the other thing with the redistricting, it's like, you know, it'd be nice to end all this redistricting and just go to the popular vote, but that's like a whole process. I mean, I know what's his name talked about it a couple times, not Josh also, but from Kentucky. But yeah, I know he's talked about it a couple times too, and it's a process to go through. But man, what do we need to start doing? Redistricting every election is going to be a vote to redistrict again.
The difference of what they did in California as opposed to what they did in Texas. In Texas, the legislature there just voted to create those congressional districts.
Didn't ask us one thing.
Yeah. California, they asked the people to vote.
I understand in Texas from a Republican friend that we were talking about that it was required by law for them to redistrict in Texas. They didn't need the vote. I thought, I never heard that. Charlie?
No, as a matter of fact, in most cases, you're not allowed to redistrict until there's a new census.
Right. It's supposed to be every 10 years.
Yeah.
But Texas doesn't care. We'll redistrict tomorrow. Even though we just did it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, what's his name? The governor, Abbott.
Said
to Trump, I'll get redistricting for you here. He did it for him. He said, I'm going to do it for you.
Redistricting can sometimes backfire, though, too. So,
well, all I'm saying is that, no, I don't like to see redistricting. I can't even pronounce it.
Gerrymandering.
Because I just think that it creates an unfair situation. But the fact is that what California did in reaction to Texas was not a bad idea. But they did it in a very legitimate way.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't think these things should be redistricted till every 10 years when they do a census, you know. And then you redistrict.
Yeah. It'd be nice if popular vote would be better.
What?
popular vote would be better.
But that's a whole different topic. Popular vote is just for electing the president.
Yeah. You know, but anyway.
The redistricting doesn't affect that.
But anyway, California gave the finger to Trump, so what the hell? You know, this was something Trump wanted to happen in Texas, and now it's been nullified. You know, so.
I heard that, what's his name, Moore is going to do the same thing in Maryland. They're going to redistrict so he'll get more Democratic seats for Maryland.
Well, you know, all I'm saying is if we do this enough, we're going to have so many people in Congress, it'll be ridiculous. We have to buy new chairs.
No, it's the same number of seats. The number of seats doesn't change. It's just what they want to do is make more seats Republican.
In other words, I see what you're saying. We keep the same amount of Congress people.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think we can change Congress people. You know how we get how many Congress people a state has?
It has to do with the population of the state. Yeah. So that's why I can change from census to census where New York will lose seats and California gain seats and vice versa or whatever because the population shifts.
Yeah. Right. When I was growing up in California, if you wanted to be around Republicans, all you had to do was go to Orange County. Not anymore.
Look, I don't mind the Republicans being there, and I don't mind the Republicans having a certain amount of presence, and I would like to see everything be equal between everybody, and we all get along in deciding how to do things. Yeah. You know, I grew up in a time when the Republicans and the Democrats worked together to get things done. But that's not the case anymore. If you're a Republican, I'm not voting for that. Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah. Well, because the Democrats want it. You know, the Democrats, I'm not voting for that. Why? Because the Republicans want it. And what happens as a result is nothing happens at all.
But see, that's not what the Democrats don't not vote for something because the Republicans want it. They don't want to vote for this continuing resolution because it's going to kick 17 million people off of healthcare.
Well, no, that's a different story altogether. I'm just saying in general, okay? You know, I understand that. But where are the Democrats out there explaining to the American public why they're not voting pass all this? Why? Why aren't they out there explaining? The only reason why we are not voting for it is we don't want you to have to give up your health benefits.
Well, they've been saying that.
They're not saying it strongly enough. They're not saying it strongly enough. They're letting the Republicans get the message across. Oh, those damn Democrats aren't voting, and that's why everybody's starving, and there's no SNAP, and there's no this, and there's no that. And the Democrats go, oh, yeah? You know, they're not aggressive enough. They've got to make a case. They've got to tell everybody, hey, we're doing this for you. We're not doing this for us. We're not doing this because we're leftists.
I've seen clips of Schumer and what's Hakeem Jeffries saying that. They're not getting reported on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News and all that.
You know, it was only, I think, until 2 days ago that Hakeem Jeffries did not back Mondani.
Well, I know that. Well, that's another whole issue. That's because he's corporate.
Well, the other thing is that somebody said, I saw a thing where they were talking about, I think it was on MSNBC, about why Schumer didn't back him. And they say that Schumer had a different reason for not backing him. It was just a whole political thing where he's the head of the Democrats in the Senate, and he had to take a certain position of not getting involved in that or something. I can't remember. But quite frankly, I think he should have. Because then he would have been on the winning side.
Yeah.
Not on the winning side anymore.
I wish yesterday was 2026. I think there would have been a blue tidal wave go through the country.
Well, if we don't screw things up, there will be. And if Trump keeps doing what he's doing, there will be.
Yeah, but
the one thing I noticed during the voting yesterday, because it was busy all day long, and I noticed a massive amount of kids, younger voters.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't they're already registered, they're registering to vote.
Yep.
Well, they're saying that's the reason why Mandani did so well here.
Right. These kids, are, I mean, it looked like a bunch of them just walked up from the high school down the street and came over to vote. You know, they're probably seniors and probably turned 18 and they could go vote.
Yeah, they said the main reason why Mandani got the younger vote was because he didn't talk down to them.
Yeah.
You know? He talked up to them. He talked decently to them, treated them as equals. And that's the way that if the Democratic Party hasn't learned from what happened here in New York, they're crazy.
They haven't learned.
No.
And, you know, they can't do what we did here in New York because what plays in New York doesn't necessarily play in Iowa. But there's one thing he did here in New York that does play everywhere. Prices have to go down.
Yeah.
You know, rents have to go down. Rents, big deal. Rents have to go down. We have to make our cities more livable. You should, you know, when you work hard and you come home with that paycheck, you should be able to say, hey, you know, I feel I've got some money here and it's going to get me a long way. All right.
Now I know
why you can't buy food.
Yeah. And that's something that will play everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and they're doing this lavish party down in Mar-a-Lago.
Yep. The Gadsby party.
Yeah, the Great Gatsby party. Yeah, that just spit in our faces.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing this, putting gold fixtures in the White House.
It's a waste. It's a waste of everybody's time, including his.
Yeah,
you know.
But I know that they say that people are regretting that they voted for Trump. But I still think there's a huge core of people that they don't care if he
there is. There is.
It doesn't matter. They're not going
to
get.
It doesn't matter to them.
They're not
it
going. They're not going. Those aren't the people that are going to get them elected, or get the next Republican elected, because he only has a 36%. Is a 36 or 32% approval rating?
32
right
was the last I saw.
That doesn't get a Republican elected. Okay.
I think in 2026, when the new law goes into effect for Medicaid, that a lot of it's going to hurt red states, especially in the South, a lot more than it's going to hurt blue states.
Yeah, but then they don't hear that, though. They hear that, oh, the Republicans aren't signing the bill, so we have no federal government, all this stuff. He keeps turning it around, and their believers believe him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But
they just follow. Like,
yeah. But that is a small group compared to the other people. You know.
Hopefully.
So
that's propaganda that they're putting out there that the mainstream media seems to be propagating instead of telling the truth.
I just hope Trump keeps doing what he's been doing, because he got everybody elected yesterday, and he can get them elected in midterms, and he can get them elected in 2028. And I said to Marjorie, I said, the only thing I'm hoping for is that I live long enough to see Trump out of office and a really good Democrat installed in office.
Keep closing those food banks.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to see.
Want one fall, one little fall. That's all.
One little fall, it just trips. Yeah. Well, he's
just trips. I think one trip will do it.
Well, it's getting to that point where he's going to start falling a lot. You know,
hit his head on the concrete real hard.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
In the Lincoln bathroom, slip on the marble.
Yes. Right.
That would be karma.
Alex knows that fall, right, Alex?
Yeah, boy, I know. Your bathrooms, we have handles now in the bathroom. Because that's the most dangerous room in the house.
Yep.
You know? Anyway, thanks, Kevin. Good having you here. Yeah. Or is it Brian?
Down the bottom.
Down the bottom, right. Let me see here. And thank you, Charlie. I really appreciate it. You always enjoy having you here. Alan, good having you here. Glad you were talking to our Republican friend. He's a complete moron and idiot, you know. Anyway, yeah. I'm afraid I might have to leave New York now because the Jew hater's in office. Anyway, thank you so much, Brian, for being here.
Kevin O'Brien. Just say Kevin and Brian.
Kevin O'Brien. And yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. Everybody, you know, give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. There'll be another one on Friday. We're taking Thursday off this week. Again? Yes, again. Because I'm just lazy. Anyway, stay tuned now for our good friend Amy Manuel. She'll be taking your calls on Zoom. You can go to column 3 on the GabNet page, and at the very bottom there are all the names of the shows, and you can call her by clicking on that. In the meantime, I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, Friday, same time, same station, life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, yeah, you know, tell her I love her, all right? Bye.